Hello, my name's Dave Emery. Welcome to this next half-hour segment. In this segment, we're going to examine a frightening disease that has manifested itself in Africa, and we are going to be presenting an article from a British publication called The New African. This article asks the question about whether perhaps this devastating illness, the Ebola virus, might in fact have some connection with a biological warfare development program in one country or another. We should note for the record that this country, as well as other countries, has a history of testing biological agents on unwitting civilian subjects, I should say, in not only the United States, but abroad. The British have long been doing the same thing, and this is really quite well documented. I would refer interested listeners to a book called A Higher Form of Killing by Paxman and Harris, softcover Hill and Wang, and I believe the copyright date is 1982. There are other books, including a book called Clouds of Secrecy, that discuss the testing of biological agents on unwitting civilian subjects. We're going to be examining an article entitled Ebola, the Military Connection. This particular article was authored for The New African by François Misser, I believe it is, M-I-S-S-E-R, or perhaps it's anglicized to Misser, I don't know. I'll call it Misser. Again, the author's name, François Misser, M-I-S-S-E-R. This article entitled "The Ebola, the Military Connection is from the New African publication of March of 1996. At the end of this broadcast, I'm going to give the address, etc., for The New African, for those of you who would like to contact them, in order to access this very important article. One of the things that I like about the article is that it meticulously discusses some very interesting and, I think, frankly, suspicious information, and yet it does not make the mistake that a lot of conspiracy researchers make of automatically jumping to the conclusion. This particular article raises more questions than it answers, but I think the questions are intelligently and necessarily raised, and I think the possible answers suggest themselves from the context of the information presented. But again, the author, unlike an awful lot of conspiracy researchers, does not jump to conclusions, and I think that is a very mature and professional and credible approach. Ebola, the Military Connection by François Misser from The New African of March of 1996 reads as follows. The Hollywood movie Outbreak showed Dustin Hoffman saving the USA and the world from an attack of a strange killer virus which was imported by the military from Africa and threatened to annihilate everyone. This fantasy might be nearer the truth than many think, but it may just be that American scientists have been using Africa for their experiments in biological warfare. This is the view of a Swiss TV reporter, Karl Meyer, K-A-R-L-M-E-I-E-R, who has been collecting information on the Ebola outbreak, which killed more than 200 people in April of 1995 in Kikwit, Zaire. That's spelled K-I-K-W-I-T, and the article also refers listeners to the New African of July and August of 1995, page 21. Karl Meyer has been interviewing people in Kikwit to try and find out how Ebola, one of the most lethal diseases in the world, came from nowhere to kill 200 in the space of a few weeks. He was reminded that the first Ebola outbreak was in 1976 in Yambuku in the Equator district of Zaire. Yambuku is Y-A-M-B-U-K-U. There, he was told, it was named after the nearby river Ebola. But one of Meyer's witnesses said that he had come to the conclusion that Ebola meant experiments of biological warfare organized by laboratories in America, or E-B-O-L-A. I would interject a couple of points. In the first place, the intelligence community frequently likes to employ puns, which give away the nature of what they're doing to a knowledgeable insider, but would be unintelligible to the uninitiated, so to speak. I'm not saying that is necessarily the case with Ebola, but I do think it's something that should be borne in mind in assessing the information presented by Ms. Misser. Also, I would point out that Zaire, for many years, has been under the thumb, quite literally, of Mobutu Sese Seko, a dictator and U.S. protege installed in considerable measure by U.S. intelligence. Continuing. Now, a new TV documentary has been made by two German investigative journalists, Malte Rauch, M-A-L-T-E-R-A-U-C-H, and Heimo Claassen, H-E-I-M-O-C-L-A-A-S-E-N, which has already been shown on the German WDR and the Franco-German ARTE television channels. They do not go so far as to say that the U.S. military invented Ebola, or organized experiments in Yambuku or Kikwit, but they insist that since the 1976 outbreak, the military has controlled the flow of information on Ebola and has decided what civilian scientists are allowed to know. A British aid worker who had been working for Oxfam in Zaire, Leslie Welch, and a Belgian doctor, Peter Piot, P-I-O-T, who is now head of the World Health Organization's Special AIDS Program, were both part of an expedition sent to Yambuku in 1976. According to Welch, the scientists of the U.S. Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, which sponsored the expedition, were paid by the U.S. Army. That last sentence again. According to Welch, the scientists of the U.S. Center for Diseases Control in Atlanta, which sponsored the expedition, were paid by the U.S. Army. The U.S. military also provided helicopters for the research work. Two South African scientists, Dr. Ben Swanepoel, S-W-A-N-E-P-O-E-L, and a virologist called Margarita, M-A-R-G-A-R-E-T-H-A, Isaacson, I-S-A-A-C-S-O-N, were part of the American team. The American scientists would fly backwards and forwards from Atlanta to Yambuku through Johannesburg and Kinshasa. This showed the close relationship between the military establishment in the U.S. and the apartheid government in South Africa at a time there were supposed to be international sanctions. P.O. says that the U.S. military had a number of reasons for being interested in Ebola. Quote, there was the biological warfare aspect and the fact that the high security laboratories are in the hands of the military in the U.K., U.S., and Soviet Union, unquote. In the same year, 1976, an independent civilian German doctor, Jürgen Knobloch, K-N-O-B-L-O-C-H, was treating patients of another Ebola epidemic near Maridi in southern Sudan, where up to 300 people died. Scientists concluded that both Zaire and Sudan had been affected with the same Ebola virus. Curiously, all the most important outbreaks of Ebola have been in Africa. But when Knobloch tried to leave the Sudan with blood samples and tissues to take them for further study and analysis at Marburg University, he was arrested and jailed for 3 weeks in a Khartoum prison. His material was confiscated and taken instead to a British military laboratory in Britain's leading germ warfare establishment, Porton Down. That's capital P-O-R-T-O-N, capital D-O-W-N. According to Rock and Clausen, Porton Down is so secret and tightly controlled, that Margaret Thatcher ordered that its location should not be indicated on any maps. But after considerable frustration, the German team was granted access. They said that it was the Porton Down Laboratories which had tested biological weapons on a remote island in northern Scotland in the 1940s, rendering it uninhabitable for decades. They also discovered that a Porton Down scientist, George Platt, had become infected by the Ebola virus, though he had survived. Professor Graham Lloyd, who still works at Porton Down, said that experiments with viruses and their relations to Ebola, Lassa fever, and other diseases were continuing. Quote, that is part of our diagnostic role, unquote, he said. Jan Kramer, an activist in the British National Anti-Vivisection Society and the author of a report entitled Biological Danger, said that the most worrying thing was that scientists manipulated animal viruses and often contaminated other animals with them. But when the virus crosses the barrier between two species, e.g. jumps from animals to humans, it adapts itself to the new environment and mutates. It can either generate a more dangerous disease or change its method of transmission. Thus, new diseases have appeared such as the Marburg and Ebola filoviruses. Some can be very dangerous and contagious. Other people besides Platt had been contaminated. Rock and Clausen say that at the U.S. Army laboratories at Fort Detrick, viruses are often transferred from one place to another, and accidents can and do happen. In November of 1989, there was a near disaster when several monkeys which were being sent to a laboratory in Washington became infected with the Ebola virus. It was thought that the transmission of the infection had been airborne. The monkeys died, and the whole laboratory had to be closed. This raised the question of whether the Ebola virus which hit Yambuku or Kikwit could have been an accident, escaping from an army laboratory, or whether it could have been introduced intentionally as part of a grisly experiment. The TV reporters say that a liaison officer between Porton Down and Fort Detrick virtually admitted that this is what had happened. Quote, mind you, he said, this is the first time that we have the bug outside the laboratory. One more time. The TV reporters say that a liaison officer between Porton Down and Fort Detrick virtually admitted that this is what had happened. Mind you, he said, This is the first time that we have the bug outside the laboratory, unquote. They say that a Swiss zoologist suddenly became infected with the Ebola virus in the Côte d'Ivoire, or Ivory Coast, again in Africa, in November of 1994, and that this was linked to the death of chimpanzees in the laboratory. Another strange aspect of the inquiry is that most of the research on filoviruses such as Ebola are in military hands. Very little scientific knowledge has been handed over to civilians. After 20 years, civilian scientists still do not know where the, quote, natural reservoir, unquote, for the Ebola virus is. Interrupting, that is what I think is so significant about the statement made by the liaison officer between Portendown and Fort Detrick that, quote, mind you, this is the first time that we have the bug outside the laboratory. Again, while one cannot draw an absolute conclusion from that, I think it is very suggestive and quite damning. Continuing. Peter Priot says the general view is that, like HIV, it was transferred from monkeys. Last year, the Russian army researcher claimed that in an, quote, act of humanitarian heroism, unquote, they had found a vaccine against Ebola. Again, it was Russian military, not civilian scientists, who were involved. This caused jealousy in the German military, which wondered how the Russians had got hold of the virus. The German army is very interested in biological warfare, and is prepared to provide support to German scientists who want to work on exotic viruses. The Germans are known to have had considerable experience in the field. During the First World War, they infected Allied horses with pathogenous germs. As early as 1967, the Marburg virus was isolated when 7 people died in a laboratory in Marburg, a town in northern Germany. Since then, scientists have established extraordinary similarities between the Marburg and Ebola viruses. Some say they are the same. The TV allegations are not conclusive. It might just be that the military scientists are the first to be alerted to the menace of a new virus because they are the people who know most about it and can respond the quickest. On the other hand, it is they who are experimenting in biological warfare, and their experiments often do go wrong, as Rock and Clausen show. It is also strange that Africa also seems to be involved with every new virus epidemic. Is the continent being used to test the new viruses? Again, I think that's a very important question to ask. Among the important points that are brought out in this particular article, in the first place, the Swiss TV reporter Karl Meyer, who was collecting information on the Ebola outbreak, which killed people in Kikwit in Zaire, was told that the Ebola virus name, now the first outbreak was near the river Ebola, that's ostensibly why it was named, but he was told that Ebola actually meant experiments of biological warfare organized by laboratories in America. I'm not going to pass judgment on that assessment. It is obviously speculative, but bear in mind my earlier observation concerning the intelligence community's enjoyment of dark inside jokes. Please note, too, that a documentary has now been made in Germany, which focuses attention on the role of various countries' militaries with regard to the Ebola virus. In the first place, there was a significant involvement of the U.S. military with the team sent by the U.S. Center for Diseases Control in Atlanta. The military paid for that expedition, and I would also note that the military also provided helicopters for this particular research work. I would also note that, as Ms. Misset has noted here, the military has controlled the flow of information and has decided what civilian scientists are allowed to know. Please note, too, that with regard to the 1976 outbreak in Yumbuku, the U.S. National Security Establishment, acting through the Centers for Diseases Control, interfaced very closely with elements from South Africa. We supposedly were not having any relations with them at that time due to international sanctions. I would also note that the outbreak that took place in Sudan, which, by the way, has a long-standing relationship with U.S. intelligence. A number of Sudanese intelligence chiefs have been involved with U.S. intelligence, including the fellow who is currently intelligence chief in the Islamic fundamentalist government of Sudan. Sudan has had relations with many different countries, but the involvement of the CIA with some of its intelligence people should be noted, although, again, there's nothing conclusive about that. Please note that a Dr. Knobloch, a German physician, who had taken tissue samples and blood samples from an outbreak of Ebola in Sudan, had this confiscated from him, and instead the samples were taken to Britain's top-secret germ warfare research establishment at Porton Down. I would note, too, that the situation vis-a-vis Porton Down is so secretive that Margaret Thatcher did not want any information about Porton Down released. Ultimately, though, the German team that produced this documentary did gain access to Porton Down and were able to find out more about it. I would note, too, that the Marburg and Ebola viruses are quite serious, and please note that a researcher named Platt in the United States was contaminated by the Ebola virus. So this is something that can easily get out and contaminate researchers working with it. I would also note, too, that in November of 1989, there was an outbreak but a near disaster when a number of monkeys that were being sent to a laboratory in Washington became infected with the Ebola virus. And again, as Ms. Misay notes, this raises the question about whether the Ebola virus which hit Yambuku and Kikwit could have been an accident escaping from an army laboratory, or whether it was introduced deliberately as part of an experimentation program. One of the most significant and also one of the most ominous details in this particular article concerns a statement made to TV reporters by a liaison officer between Porton Down and Fort Detrick, who again commented, "Mind you, this is the first time that we have the bug outside of a laboratory." Well, not conclusive. Again, I think that's ominously suggestive. I would note, too, that a Swiss zoologist became infected with the Ebola virus in the Ivory Coast in November of 1994, and that this outbreak was linked to the deaths of chimpanzees in the laboratory, suggesting the possibility that we may be looking at what is known by scientists as a pandemic, an epidemic that jumped from one species to another, or actually an epizootic is the name of that, something that jumped from one species to another. I would note that after 20 years of being familiarized with the Ebola viruses, as noted in this particular article, civilian scientists still don't know where the, quote, natural reservoir, unquote, for the Ebola virus is. And as I indicated earlier, I think that, taken in combination with the statement by that liaison officer between Fort Detrick and Porton Down, raises some very, very serious questions. In noting the association of various countries' military establishments with the Ebola research, I would also note that a Russian army researcher claimed that they had found a vaccine against Ebola. And again, it was a Russian military, not civilian scientists, who were involved. If, in fact, as speculation presented here maintains, the Ebola was some sort of Western military biological warfare experiment, that would certainly suggest why the Russians might have been deeply involved in trying to find a vaccine against Ebola. I would note also that apparently the German military was quite jealous over the Russian research into the Ebola virus, and that the German army is very interested in biological warfare and is prepared to provide support to German scientists who want to work on exotic viruses. When that is taken in combination with the fact that Germany was never effectively denazified and those Nazi elements are now rising to the surface once again, that certainly is not something that could be viewed as particularly comforting for the people of the world. Again, this is not to indict all or even most Germans as being Nazis. That is not true. However, again, because of the, as I've noted in many series, including the Reunited Germany, The New Danger, the anti-communist and anti-labor stance of fascism and Nazism made it very appealing to elements in the West, and Nazi elements were simply put right back in power in Germany, and fascist elements were used elsewhere during the course of the Cold War. Again, as noted by Ms. Misay, the Germans have long been very experienced and among the pioneers in the field of biological warfare, going all the way back to the First World War when they infected Allied horses with pathogenous germs. Again, the Marburg virus was first named and isolated when 7 people died in a laboratory in Marburg, a town in northern Germany. And since then, many scientists have noted that the extraordinary similarities between the Marburg and Ebola viruses, a similarity so extraordinary that some researchers say they are actually the same. Again, although one cannot draw conclusions from this particular article, I think it certainly suggests the very distinct and ominous possibility that the Ebola virus might be some sort of biological warfare weapon that is being tested on people in Africa, individuals who are deemed to be expendable under the circumstances. I've been reading from an article and also analyzing an article from the New African of March of 1996. The article is entitled Ebola, the Military Connection, and the article is by François Misser, M-I-S-S-E-R. Those of you who would like to contact the New African in order to pursue this further can reach them at the following. The subscription department for the New African can be found at IC Publications Limited. That's Irving Charlie Publications Limited. 7, Cold Bath Square, London, EC1R4LQ, United Kingdom. Once more, in order to contact the New African, you can write to them at their subscription department, New African, IC Publications Limited, Irving Charlie Publications Limited, 7, Cold Bath Square, that is in London, EC1R4LQ. That is E as in Eric, C as in Charlie, 1, R as in Roger, 4, L as in Larry, Q as in Quadrant, United Kingdom. That again, the information for how to subscribe to the New African. People looking for key titles in this field of research should contact the Antifa Book Search Service. More information about that right now.
You can contact the Antifa Book Service at 945 Terravel Street, number 117, San Francisco, California, 94116. They specialize in books about fascism, the intelligence community, and clandestine power politics. Neither Dave Emery nor KFJC gets money from this arrangement. Again, that's ANTIFA Book Service, located at 945 Terravel Street, number 117, San Francisco, California, 94116.
That again for information about the Antifa Book Search Service. I have just established an email address for those people who would like to contact me via email. Those of you who would like to contact me via email can reach me at D. Emery, by the way, these are all lowercase letters, D. Emery, D-E-M-O-R-Y, at well.com, W-E-L-L.com. Once again, my email address is D. Emery, D-E-M-O-R-Y, at well.com, W-E-L-L.com. Again, those are all lowercase letters. By the way, people who would like to do further research into biological warfare should get a hold of the archive show AIDS, Epidemic or Weapon of War, and that will give you information about that. People who would like to contact me via regular mail should write to the following address. Write to Dave Emery, last name E-M-O-R-Y, care of KFJC-FM, that's the home base station on which I record these programs. KFJC-FM is Kangaroo Fred John Charles FM, is at 12345, that's 12345, El Monte Road, capital E-L, capital M-O-N-T-E Road, that's in Los Altos Hills, California, 94022. Once again, to reach me via so-called snail mail, write to Dave Emery, E-M-O-R-Y, care of KFJC-FM, 12345, El Monte Road, capital E-L, capital M-O-N-T-E Road. That's in Los Altos Hills, California, L-O-S-A-L-T-O-S, Hills, California, zip code 94022. That concludes this broadcast. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.